Thursday, September 11th. The first reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Brothers and sisters, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if one has a grievance against another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. And over all these put on love, that is, the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Haydock Commentary. Above all these things put on love, the love of God and of your neighbor, which is the bond of perfection, the end of all virtues, which unites the hearts of all to God. Employ yourselves in studying and reading the Scriptures. Meditate on what our Savior has done and suffered for you. It is a calumny of our enemies that we forbid the reading of Scripture. But the Church, fearing lest the faithful should read to their own destruction what was ordained for their salvation, wisely ordains that they should have recourse to their pastors and receive from them those versions of Scripture which she approves as most conformable to the Latin Vulgate, which has received the sanction of the Holy Catholic Church, and at the same time forbids them those which might corrupt their faith. In this she acts the part of a good and provident mother, conducting her children to the rich and salutary pastures of peace and plenty, and carefully guarding them from others, where tempting but noxious weeds luxuriantly grow up, watered with the baneful streams of polluted and poisoned sources. The Gospel from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well, and from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as also your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." Haydock Commentary. Jesus Christ does not order us never to refuse a petition, but the meaning of his words is that we are to give what is just and reasonable, what will be neither injurious to yourself nor your family, for what is unjustly asked may be justly denied. So says St. Augustine. But in this, the sin we commit is often far from trivial, particularly when to the refusal of a just request we add also reprehensions and complaints. For we say, why does he not work? Why has he reduced himself to penury through his own indolence? But tell me, do you live upon the fruits of your own industry? On the supposition that you do, is it not that you may have some plea to reprehend another for the morsel of bread he begs at your hands? You give him no charitable relief, give him then no contumelious words. If you have no compassion for him yourself, do not prevent others from showing him commiseration. Abraham, in the number of guests he received, had the honor of receiving under his roof even angels. Let us not therefore be strict and unfavorable judges in regard of our suffering and distressed neighbors, lest perhaps we ourselves come to be more severely judged. So says St. John Chrysostom. Those who only give when sure of having a greater return do not give, but traffic with their generosity, in which there is no charity. What can be imagined more kind, what more merciful, than this conduct of our Sovereign Lord, that the sentence of the judge should be left in the hands of the person to be judged?